Hey, welcome back to the Agent Revolution podcast presented by Mike Wall Live. This is the place where we deconstruct the biggest challenges facing today's real estate agents so that they can build a sustainable, profitable, and most of all, fulfilling real estate business. Today, I've got a very special guest, Baltimore, Maryland's own Jennifer Schiff. Jen's team did just over $50 million in volume last year, and we're going to dig into the mindset of the top producing agent. But before we do that, don't forget to visit me over at MikeWallLive.com where you can get 8 hours of free real estate training. Jen, did I get something wrong there?
On which thing specifically?
Where you're from?
Oh, I'm from the Baltimore area currently.
Okay. All right, good. I just wanted to make sure. I've been known to overlook that sometimes, but it sounds like I got it right this time. So that being said, why don't we go just Jen really quickly? Always like to do before we get started on today's topic. Just tell people a little bit about yourself so they can get to know you.
Sure, of course. Thank you. So I'm a little bit of a real estate unicorn in the fact that I've had the honor of doing a lot of different things within the industry over the last decade. So my family had a real estate team that we grew from 2011 to about a $75 million team over a four-year period. Since then, in about 2016, we fluctuated depending on different things between, you know, 50 million last year and 50 and 75, depending on what's going on. In 2016, we went into Five Doors Expansion in KW, and I had the opportunity to lead that organization as the VP of Ops for 2016. So during the time that our team and I was a part of Five Doors, we did about $350 million in volume. We ran 1,000 transactions, 12 month like scale sprint, all sorts of really cool stuff we learned inside of that. So I led along with Seth Campbell at that time, the operations, and Raquel Quinette on the growth side. And then coming out of that, I also have a consulting business that I work with a lot of big real estate teams and individuals throughout the country. And we currently still have our real estate team and continue to do some diversification inside of investment development. We own a staging company. So really all of the aspects of a real estate business we've expanded past just the transaction.
Wow. So much to unpack there. Here's what I always wonder, you know, when I talk to somebody like you is like, you've had your hands in so many different things and so many different businesses, and you've had so much experience, and you're still really young. And it's like, I wonder how this all happened. Like when you went to, when you were in school, did you, I'm pretty sure you didn't decide, you know, one day I'm going to lead a large real estate team, because it seems like in high school or in college, we never really think about that. It just kind of happened. So I'd love to hear about how that came about.
Yes, in high school nor in college did I ever assume that I would be doing any of this.
Shocker.
Yeah. I almost barely graduated high school, and in college, I was a cocktail waitress for about like 4.5 years in South Florida. So you can imagine that lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yet, you know, the journey for us really came in that at first I was in sales in my early 20s, and my boyfriend, husband then at the time, had started a real estate career. I was very successful in what I did in my sales business and was independent. And I saw him really struggling as like a single real estate agent. Mm-hmm. And he for a long time attempted to get me into the business, and I just really wasn't interested. I felt like I had freedom. I didn't feel like he had freedom, and I wanted independent income.
Yeah.
What ended up happening for us personally is that we got invited to a Keller Williams family reunion in 2011. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really want to go because it was a real estate conference, and I was trying to stay away from everything real estate despite his efforts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was an all expense trade paid trip to California, and it was my birthday. So he convinced me. So needless to say, went to that family reunion, and, you know, we were in the room for about 30 minutes when I realized that real estate did not just have to be an agent in sales, but real estate was a business model. And I started hearing people up on that stage and individual breakouts of people sharing things that they were doing in a reduplicatable and executable model.
Yeah.
And when I began to understand that there was a business function to real estate, and that we could take what my husband at that time, you know, in his business had been doing as a single agent, about $10 million of production for the first 7 years before we formulated the team. Mm-hmm. And then really apply the business models to it and be able to scale. And that's what we did. So we grew about 650% in 4 years from him as a single agent. And it was applying real estate as a business, not just as sales, that made the biggest differentiator for us. Did Mike freeze? lost Mike.
We're back. That is just like, I cannot tell you how like stressful that is. And I sit here and I try to like, you know, calm myself, you know what I mean? Because it's completely out of my control, but that is just such hashtag 2020. It's like everything that I did just took like forever, right? I mean, the power literally went off. And then when you restart your computer and you haven't shut it down in a while, you know what, if you have an Apple computer, you get that little band, you know what I mean? And it's like, okay, all right, are you going to start? And that literally took like 5 minutes. And then by the time the screen came on, it was like everything took forever to load. And I'm like, literally, we have like the Spectrum Internet, which is supposed to be like the highest speed internet you can buy. And it's, I don't know. Anyway, it wouldn't be my show, Jen, without some technical difficulties. So welcome to the show. And let's jump right back in, by the way. And thank you for being patient to talking about like, and I think where we left off is you had told us kind of about your life experience, how you got to where you're at. And what I always like to ask my guest about, you know, how you've become the Jennifer Schiff of today is what experiences did you take from all that to help you build the person you have become now? And like, how does that serve you today? You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure, of course. So, no, I was sharing, and by the way, I was just so grateful that it wasn't my tech that something happened to, because it really is. So I was sitting here and I was like, at least it's not me. And it took me a couple minutes to see if I was frozen or you were frozen. And I was like, okay, so it's okay. But what I was really sharing about is that I learned that real estate really has the opportunity to be a business, and it doesn't just have to be treated as a sales agent or transactionally. And through that, the biggest differentiator became that we started attending like a ton of classes. I used to make a joke that I would pay like a Harvard tuition on KW education every year.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest difference is we would execute. You know, and who the Jennifer Schiff of today is built off of Jennifer Schiff who spent 10 years just like messing everything up.
Let me stop you real quick though. Okay, so tell me this. So here's what I'm most curious about. How did you, like, you were a cocktail waitress at a bar, right?
I was, yeah.
Were you an entrepreneur then, or did you, like, how did that happen? Like, what was the mindset shift from cocktail waitress to know, I want to be an entrepreneur, I want to build a business? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, well, in all fairness, I was the highest revenue generating cocktail waitress across the entire franchise. And I think over like 10 years, well, now it's probably like 14 years later, I still hold records across the entire company. So there was something inside me then
that
obviously had like an entrepreneurial spirit. So,
so you've always been a high achiever,
right? Like, yeah, it didn't matter what I was doing. Like I always excelled at it. And so you see, and a lot of what we wanted to talk today is about when we go into the understanding the mindset of productivity and the mindset of success in the business, you know, a lot of it has to do with just understanding that it's not about, even as you're growing a team and you're deciding, like a lot of people go back and forth between, do I hire a real estate agent who has experience or do I hire a new real estate agent? Mm-hmm. You know, which is the better choice inside of those? And at the end of the day, as soon as people can realize that it's really behavior that becomes the success factor and people's, you know, work ethic and drive and really their core values in general that makes success or just lack of anything beyond mediocrity in most people, that's where you can start to identify talent regardless of what they've done prior. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things. So, you know, coming out of being a cocktail waitress, I was doing sales for call centers and I spent time in the call center business. But even there, you know, I was 165% of my goal. Right? Young, like 22 years old, never having any type of professional experience. Or then I took a corporate position. So, you know, when you look at trajectory, when you're somebody who's in a position that you're hiring and you're looking to get into relationship and you want to build businesses, it doesn't matter what the business is. It matters that the people that you're looking to get into business with have, number one, been successful in whatever they did up until the point that they're choosing to get into business with you, and that you would believe when you're in relationship and getting to know this person that whether or not they choose to work with you, that they're going to succeed anyway. And so many times, especially in the real estate business, when we're like growing fast or we're scaling, we're in so much pain and we just know that we don't want to do the jobs that we're doing anymore. So everybody looks like they're just the perfect candidate to us. And yet, right, we don't take the time to really look and see, like, do their behaviors match the needs we need in the organization? Have they been successful in the past, or am I trying to save somebody who hasn't been successful up to this point?
Hiring on potential and not track record, right? It was one of our biggest downfalls for sure early on.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the biggest things in the mindset of somebody who always wants to be successful or always wants to go above and beyond, right? Wants to come from care and contribution. There's just certain things and behaviors that won't change regardless of what somebody's doing as a career function. And when you can find the core behaviors, you can get into business with people that you can truly grow with, because you can teach skill to anybody. Real estate, surprisingly, is pretty simple. It is not easy, but the actual principles of real estate are not overly complicated. So that's a big lesson for people. And when you have somebody who has the work ethic and aligns to your core values, that's far more important than the person who's already sold seven houses. And that was,
you know, what's interesting about what you're saying is, like, as it relates to hiring, is that what I've found is that there are people like us who seek knowledge, and then there are people that are willing to accept knowledge, and then there are non-seekers. And so the non-seekers are pretty easy to rule out. It's the people, I think the people that get lost in the shuffle sometimes, and it's really a shame, are the people who accept knowledge, but they're not in an environment to receive it. You know what I mean? And so when we look for agents to join our team, those are really the type of people we're looking for, because we don't necessarily hire, we're okay with the rock star agent, but we're not building a team of rock star agents. We're building a team of agents who want to learn, who want to be successful, and they're interested in what we have to say. They see the value of what we're doing. Do you kind of see that, like, in your environment as well?
Oh yeah, 1,000%. You know, one of the biggest things in general in, I think, growing a real estate team is that so often we are going on these, like, huge sprints. Like, I think the industry, the ego, the competition of it, like, everybody just wants to do really big things. You want to go from 20 million to 50. You're a $50 million team. You want to be a $100 million team. You're a $100 million team. You want to expand. And what people lose is the sustainability that's available for you in the profit of your real estate business and the people that you're in business with. And there's really this sweet spot that can be identified with agents who can have a successful business that gives them what they want in their personal life and is enough of a function for the team to be a part of the team and the profitability and the way the model, the economic model of the business runs, that really is a sweet spot where the goal, and this is what I spend a lot of time with my consulting clients on and we have a lot of success in, is finding the way to duplicate what we've done before. Let's not try to get something or somebody to do something once and burn it out. Yeah. And that tends to be so much of what happens inside the business. And even inside of that team growth, a lot of people will have to work so much harder, burn out, go on their own, leave the business. But when you can find the sweet spot and how to work with people in a way that matches their behavior, aligns to what they want in their personal life, aligns to what the business needs to, again, for me, it's always profit. Whatever the business looks like, GCI is nothing but a number. Like, I always say that. But show me what your profit is, and then we can talk about whether the business in health is healthy and running the systems, and the culture is probably one of the most critical things that helps sustain and build that.
I just love that you said that, because it really made me think about, I think early on, and that's when we make a lot of mistakes, and we're constantly making mistakes because we're constantly evolving. But early on, it was like, I would look at everybody we brought on out of the lens that I looked through. And that was a big mistake, right? And I like what you just said about meeting agents where they're at, right? It's, what are your goals? And we've become this now, in that when we bring somebody in, if they come into our environment, they've come into our environment because we've both agreed on something. We've agreed that that their goals meet our standards, and they've agreed that what they can get here will help them meet their goals, right? And I so love that, you know, I would love for, like I said, I would love for everybody to come on and sell, you know, 10, 12, 15 houses a month, but in reality, that's not what everybody wants. And we always felt like, and I know you probably felt this way too at your level, is that it was like, okay, we hit the 20 million. Now we got to go to 50 million. We hit the 50 million. Now we got to go to 100 million. And it's like, where does that all end? And it, you know, you look, you take self inventory and you're like, this is not really what I want for the rest of my life. I don't want to just, it's a goalless goal. You know, there's no destination. And when I started to figure that out, it's like what you said, and you said it perfectly. It's like you find the sweet spot, and everybody has a sweet spot where they're doing what they should be doing. In other words, they're in alignment with where they should be in life and they're happy, right? They're not miserable because they have some goal that's never attainable.
Yes, with actions that they're never going to do. And so that's, you know, one of the biggest parts of understanding the mindset around productivity, specifically for single agents, but really when we're talking about business and scale and growth and team, is when you can meet people where they are and actually understand what they are willing to do within the scope of your standards, then all of a sudden you can, again, like we said, meet each person where they are in the realm of what you are willing to accept for your team and then make people win. Like for instance, if you have somebody who loves to call for sale by owners and expireds every day, let them call for sale by owners and expireds every day. If you have a person who is scared out of their mind of picking up the phone, have them send 50 messengers every single day, right? So there's always a way to get people to run their lead levers based on their behavior. One of the things, the book Profit First is obviously a game changer for many people if you are aware of just how to run financial models in your business. Yet one of the things that came out of that book that just really stuck with me from the author is talking about how so often when we're looking to get performance, and when we're looking at performance even against numbers, which is really like the language and the roadmap for those of us who want to work smarter, not harder. Mm-hmm. So often we course actions for people that don't align to what their behavior are, but align to the result you're looking to get. So when I say that, what I mean is, you know, instead of trying to get me to call for sale by owners and expireds when I'm afraid of cold calling, yes, if you script practice with me and you pay attention and you work with me every single day and you watch me and you check my dialer time, am I going to get on and am I going to do it? Probably. Is it going to break me eventually? Am I going to dislike it? Yes, 100%. So what ends up happening is when you do things that are against your behavior, you don't stick with it. Yet when you can actually find systems and build things around your behavior, then you can build sustainability and you can begin to build habits. Mm-hmm. So when you try to bring yourself to, again, just where you are, whether you want to make messenger comments, whether you're a texter, whether you're a door knocker, whether you do Popeyes, whether you do events, whatever it is, just go deeper in what you do. Mm-hmm. So many times, not only just the other spectrum of this is like we have shiny penny syndrome. So no one stays long enough in doing one thing to actually get the full breadth of the result that's possible for them because we don't like to follow up either.
Sure.
We always just want the low-hanging fruit.
Right.
So if you take the combination of really the mindset of building systems around your behavior and not trying to change your behavior because it's always going to flip back. You're right. Always going to not want to do the thing you didn't want to do, even if you do it for a period of time.
Yeah.
So then how do you find the habit that you're willing to do over and over? And you can actually build into a lifestyle for yourself that will create the lead lever and the result you want from a productivity standpoint.
Yeah.
And that's a big game changer for people when they can focus. And it's actually the smaller you get and the deeper you go, you know, you don't want to water ski, you want to scuba dive. And yeah. We have an industry of water skiers.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you say that because I've often talked to people about, let's just talk specifically about the phones, right? And we know there are a lot of people that are afraid to make phone calls. And I've found oftentimes that, you know, when you talk to people about making phone calls, a lot of times you talk to people who've never made phone calls and they're scared to make phone calls. And it's like, I think a lot of people, they confuse fear and dispassion. And really to know the difference, you have to do the activity. Because sometimes we brought people in here and then they started to make the calls and then they started to have some success. And then all of a sudden, guess what?
They love it.
More phone calls. You know what I mean? They're like, oh my gosh, this works. And then there's people like you said, who are, they're not doing things in alignment with their behavior, who will make the calls. And even if they're having some success, they are understanding in their mind that they're not passionate about it, right? They know they can't sustain a career like this. And that's why I always tell people, you make sure you try it first before you say that you're scared to do it, right? Make sure that you're trying it before you tell us you're not passionate about doing it and figuring out the difference between those two things.
Yeah. And I think I love so, you know, again, meeting people where they are. The person who's afraid to pick up the phone, I give them a lead generation method that's not picking up the phone. And then I tell them all their follow-up has to be phone calls.
Yeah.
But right. So then they start making the phone calls in the follow-up, and it gives them the layer of starting to peel the fear factor away.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, this isn't so bad. And then they start to build other layers. So again, that's just a great example of, okay, we'll start you here, but then this piece is going to bring you really ultimately where you want to go.
And what's really cool about what you're saying right now, and I hope, and I think most people are probably seeing this is all a mindset shift, right? These are activities to help someone shift their mindset. And it's so important because obviously the show today is about, you know, mindset and having the proper mindset for success in real estate. And I wrote down one thing, and I want to get your take on this because we have this conversation weekly, and I see it's a disease in our industry, and it's called limiting beliefs, right? And it's people come in and they just, I don't know where this has come from, and maybe you can shed some light on this, Jen, but so many people are just broken before they even get in here. They don't ever give themselves a chance. And I'm wondering if you're seeing that in your environment and then what you've done to combat that.
Oh, God, we're going to need a couple of shows for that answer.
give us the cliff notes then, because I know you're the mindset, Jen.
Well, you know, I think... You know, first and foremost, it all starts with self-awareness, right? So yeah. That is really like the biggest thing. And in life, you know, there's all sorts of different people. So some individuals can go through just an entire lifetime unwilling to be aware of anything that would give them that chance of change, right? They just want to stay unconscious. And many people, when you give them the self-awareness or they start to have tools, right? It's really filling up a toolbox and being able to know when to use those different tools to help you get what you want where you're not. And unfortunately, I'm just going to be honest. I believe that everybody in this world is suffering. It's just a matter of what you're suffering from. Yeah. So when we can first identify what created like the suffering, it's really if we want to get, you know, high tech from adolescence, right? So there's always something that's programming people to act the way they act.
Yeah.
And the reality of that is it also comes from your subconscious mind. Yeah. So 95% of your actions come from unconsciousness, where only 5% of what you think you're controlling is being controlled by what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And so when you start to get deep and you start to realize that really we're almost machines and operating systems in ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when we can start to get the self-awareness of, you know, when you do the same thing, it's like thoughts, you know, become your reality that become your actions. So when you think the same things, you create the same reality, you do the same things over and over, you're going to get the same results.
Yeah.
So when it's really learning to just say, okay, I see that I'm doing this. And by doing this, I can define my future. Like I know if I keep doing this, I'm going to get Y.
Yeah.
But what happens when you do X, you actually don't know the result. And one of the biggest pieces is getting somebody to be willing to take actions based on your belief or what those who have walked before you have done, especially in this industry. There's not many things that people attempt to do that you don't have the textbook on,
yeah.
Right? I could almost write for anybody up to a pretty high production level how they can get that. Now it's the mindset of execution around it. And that comes to how we release the programming of whatever it is we're resisting. You know, one of the biggest things is, you know, this is something tactical that can really help people around this conversation. It's that oftentimes we decide what we're going to do and what we're not going to do based on our feelings in the moment.
Yeah.
And that's why time blocks often don't work on people's calendars, because when you're time blocking, this calendar sounds amazing. Yet when life shows up, you just want to chase the bunnies. Right? You want to go to the whirlwind. You don't want to do the things that you've identified as important. Same thing with lead activities.
We call that creative avoidance, by the way.
Yes, I love that. So if you can make an agreement with yourself through self-awareness that you're going to create a plan, right? Whether you're using KPIs and metrics, whether you've set certain standards from yourself as a real estate team, whether you know you want to talk to 20 people a day, whatever it is, make a plan in a non-emotional state, where you're not actually doing it, but you're thinking, what is it that I want for my life? And how do I know I can get it?
Yeah.
And then reverse engineer that plan into a schedule that you execute, whether you feel like it or not.
Yeah.
And that's what we teach. We teach you do it, whether you feel like it or not, once you've already agreed to do it. And that's being a person of your word. And that becomes commitment, and that becomes culture.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's, that's why it's so important, by the way, in what you consume, right? If you're watching the news all the time and you see all this negativity, or if you're, you know, you're watching TV shows that are mindless, you know, Real Housewives of New Jersey, it's like,
I don't watch TV, by the way.
Yeah. This stuff just adds up though. And it like you said, we are an operating system, right? And what happens is we start to perpetuate these thoughts, and I don't know, try this. If you've ever watched something before you've gone to bed, and then like you've had dreams about it and stuff, that's how powerful what you consume is. Or you've heard a song like the day before, and then you wake up singing it in the morning, and that's why I say, you know, like to your point, it's, you know, when you are consuming stuff that is not in alignment again with where you're trying to take your life. In other words, if you're running a business, right? Like I remember starting off when I was just so like every day, I just wanted to learn more and more and more and more. I was listening to podcasts. I was literally sitting on the couch next to my wife, and I'm just, you know, writing stuff out, writing drip email campaigns out. Like I'm doing all this as a solo realtor because it had consumed me at that point. I wanted it more than anything. And then, you know, as time went by, you know, life started to get in the way, and I got off track, and then I needed to get back on track, but that's a whole other story. But what I'm saying is, like, when you can truly become passionate about it, it consumes you to the point to where it's all you want to do. And there's a good part to that, and then there's a really dangerous part to that, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, for you, how have you personally, Jen, because I can tell you look like probably a workaholic. You look like probably somebody that works a lot, man, because you are a smart cookie. You're
I was going to say, are there bags under my eyes?
No. I can tell in talking to you, like you've not gotten to where you are by not consuming a lot of good information because you're really smart. But what I'm saying is, where do you draw the line, right? Where do you draw the line between business now and then being, you know, being a part of a family?
Yeah. So this was a very, this is a very big journey for me because where I'm now actually is probably the best place that I've been at in the last decade. So when we first started, very similar to you, like I just grinded to like no tomorrow. And I really believed for probably first 5 or 6 years that like the badge of honor was like the most hours you can put in and the latest timestamp you could put on your email. Right. Yeah. If that was like a real thing. And then like being number one, like was such a big thing for us in
where does that come from though? I want to know that. Like, why is that so important to be number one?
It was at first, but now it doesn't. But like, those were the first things. Like when I first got into real estate, I guess that's the, if I look back to it, like being number one team would show that we like grew, you know, and we were able to just hit that success.
Yeah.
So it was important going into it, and then very fast into just building the business and realizing like what comes into the grind. I say like real estate is not a career, it's a lifestyle. And yeah. At that time, growing our business and our family, a husband and wife team working together all the time, like balancing everything, it was definitely a lot. And then when I went into Five Doors, it actually got worse. And so there, you know, culturally and just the expectations of, you know, leading a national organization, like really pulled me away from all my important relationships, the first one being myself. So yeah. I feel like I really lost myself. I lost a lot of things in my marriage and the quality of our relationship. You know, I had a young child at that time and a lot of my time was being sacrificed. And it really was coming into probably the end of 2019 and the pandemic that did it more than anything.
Really? So this is pretty recent, huh?
This is very, like, you're getting like the raw new Gen Shift who works 3 days a week now.
So there was a paradigm shift, right?
Yeah, total paradigm shift. So, you know, now what I did, because I'm in my consulting and just because my daughter in the summer, like I just redesigned my life. And I realized that like my 5-year-old child and my family was like the most important thing. And I've worked a decade and it puts all this knowledge in my head and it gives me the ability to help and impact people and work in my consulting business and our real estate team. And all these things are great. But at the end of the day, the pandemic made me realize like my relationship with myself had to come like first and foremost, mm-hmm. and then my child and my family. And that was a really big shift for me. So I would say that that's a journey. And there is no such thing as balance. There is integration. Yeah. And this is a task-based business and not as much as a time-based business, especially on the operational side of it versus, you know, the sales side. Mm-hmm. And the more that we can take control of, you know, the life we want to live and making sure we know how to say yes to the right things and no to the right things has really become a huge factor in that, where I know where, like, even in leadership, when I've had more success or less success working with and through people, that's all a definition of like how I'm showing up in life first and foremost. So yeah. I would say from all of that for anybody, like just go inward first, like look at yourself and are you everything you need to be in the moment, like the best version of what you learned yesterday and the days before that, and just showing up and make yourself your own competition. And that's really how you can get the fruit of like all aspects of family, business, and life, because the grind doesn't get you there. I can guarantee it.
And part of that was letting go of the fact that you didn't need to be number one, right? Because we were talking about a goalless goal, right? You didn't need to be number one. And so when you—
I learned that in like 2014.
Yeah, but when you learn that, it's really like you have— it's most of that is ego, by the way, anyway. And you know, that, so that's someone separate from who we are truly. Mm-hmm. But when you when you're able to let that go and not feed the ego, it loses its strength, and you understand that, you know, because what ego is simply put is it's the expectation, it's judgment. How will other people look at me? Right. I want other people to look at me. I want to be number one, so people look at me like this. Right. I want to drive a Ferrari so people look at me when I drive by. It's all ego based, and it all stems from— and this is why, by the way, I think that this part of society is truly broken, and it's getting worse, because I can see this as our younger generation up and the stuff that's being posted on Instagram and, you know, private jets. And it's like everything's just really about having as much money in excess as possible. But the, you know, the reality of it is, and you know, why Facebook is popular, why Instagram is popular, is because most people are posting not the worst parts of their life, right? They're posting the best parts of their lives, and they're expecting something in return. There's actual studies that show that when somebody goes in and likes your post, it creates a dopamine release in your brain, and that provides satisfaction to you. You know what I mean? So, but all this stems from— it's this belief that we're not enough. We're not already enough. And I, and it's because we see all these images every day of people that have so much more than us. And we've put all of our existence, all of our faith in having stuff, having things. And if we don't have enough things, if somebody has more than us, then we're not enough, right?
It is the search and seeking of significance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what the reality of it is, we already have it, right?
We are already
significant, right? There's no one else like us in the world. We are the only person like us in the entire world. We are truly significant, and people don't realize that. And it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. We are our own super— like, you know, who we are is our superpower.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that
discipline-based real estate. What does that mean?
So I think discipline-based real estate is really a little bit off the heels of what I was saying before. It's an agreement based on KPIs and metrics of the exact actions you know are necessary to yield X result, and then just performing inside those actions through accountability and through standards and systems such as, you know, scoreboards, follow-up tracking, things like that, to really just guarantee results in productivity for an agent or for a real estate team. Yeah. And so through all of the lessons and probably learning how to sell houses every single way under the rainbow, and what, you know, our real estate team did $75 million in production with 23 agents, and we did $75 million in production with 3 agents.
Wow.
In 3 years. So,
that's crazy, man.
Yeah. So if that can give you just a nutshell in itself of just like how different ways production can be run and the results that you can get by, again, being disciplined and just really clear on the metrics, you know, people really tend to by nature dislike the numbers. You know, everyone has a resistance. I don't like to track. I don't like to slow down. They don't make whatever it is. Yet they're just a story. And they give us the answers, and they give us the actions necessary to get what you want. And the reality is that most people don't want to sell more than 5 houses a month. And you can show people 100 different paths to guarantee the disciplined actions around selling 5 homes a month. And so when you can get in relationship around those actions and build habit and consistency and discipline, you can just truly create a sustainable business that is predictable and that you can always benchmark exactly where you're going to be. And that's something that I've done with many, many agents, real estate teams, my consulting clients, and we really get proven results. So, you know, for me, I like to go really head down and I don't talk about things until I know that they work. Mm-hmm. But once we've seen them proven over and over again, then I like to share it with others because I know that they have the ability to get the same thing for themselves. And it's really just focusing and getting really small on the things that work for you, going as deep as you can into those relationships and the follow-up, because 90% of all deals, if anybody is to look at their pipeline, if you're watching, go to your closed transactions for 2020 and look and see how many of those popped from follow-up versus the first contact you ever made with them. Yeah. And the deeper the discipline around those activities and systems are, then the greater you can predict your business and just work smarter, not harder. So many people think that you have to run around all the time in this business to get a result. And you actually just have to know what to do. And then you can really have some of the freedom that people perceive this business to be. And in most cases, you don't get because you're lacking that focus right. And you're lacking just the effective actions. You can do so many things, but what's going to be the most effective? Again, going back to the beginning of the conversation around like your behavior, what you do well, the value proposition of either your brokerage, your team, who you're partnered with, and building that alignment. It just makes such a difference.
Yeah, I love it. And when you look at the most successful agents, right, it's not that there's some secret formula, right? It's that they're all doing the same things. And the reality of it is when you try to, when you try to present this to someone and it doesn't, they don't see it. Like, it, answer this for me. In your marketplace, what percentage of the agents are willing to run a business like you are? Like when we talk about discipline-based RE, when we talk about, you know, accountability, when we talk about keeping a calendar, we talk about what percentage of the agents in your marketplace are willing to accept this?
5%.
Yeah. Isn't it low?
Yeah.
Yeah. But 5% of your market, 5% of the agents in your market do 90% of the business. Right. And so everybody knows that, yet they still turn a blind eye to it.
Resisting machines. People are resisting machines. They want to see what works and then they want to be creative.
Yeah.
And being creative before you do what works, you will just not get the result you intend. It doesn't work that way. And if someone can show it to me, then I'd be happy to see it. But I've watched so many people, you know, I'll change my tune, but just show it to me, because I've seen so many people attempt that and it doesn't work. And I've taken, you know, endless stories, but even just somebody like recently, you know, they did one deal on a team over a year period. And, you know, in the same year of being in business with me, they were $11 million producer.
Wow.
So, you know, this is one example, or even like we have someone who's young in our team in her early 20s that had only worked in restaurants prior, brought her in, got her license. She has less than 6 months full time and she has 9 pending deals right now.
Some people just get it, don't they? They just get it, man.
I just follow what, you know, when people listen and they follow what we're talking about, discipline-based productivity. Those are two examples of people who did exactly what we told them to do. And by doing it, they get more than what they even anticipated. She didn't think, she was like, Jen, do you think I'll be able to ever pen 2 deals? This was our conversation in February.
Wow.
9 pending right now.
Wish I was 20 and had 9 pending deals. I wish I had my stuff together like that when I was 20 years old, man.
I'm like, I was still dancing on tables then.
Jeez, oh Pete. But you were winning, right? You were winning.
I was winning always. I've been winning since I came out.
Well, Jen, I know we're up against the clock here and you have a hard stop at 5 and so do I. But for people that want to connect with you, maybe they want to learn a little bit more about, you know, what you've talked about today with some of the discipline-based RE or accountability metrics. Or maybe they want to learn more about your consulting business. How do people get a hold of you, Jen?
Yeah. So the best way to get a hold of me, my consulting business, it's actually called Manifest. I'm a big believer in manifesting and creating anything you want. So you can find that at www.themanifestnetwork.com if you want to check out my website. But the easiest ways to get in touch with me would be on Instagram at Jen the Queen Schiff, or you can find me on Facebook as Jennifer Schiff as well.
Love it, love it, love it. As usual, I love sharing these stories week after week because I know this show is literally changing agents' financial lives, my own included. Do me a big favor. If you know someone that might enjoy the podcast, please share it with them. And if you like the podcast, please go to wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe. Don't forget to visit MikeWallLive.com where you can get free 8 hours of training, real estate business training. And Jennifer, again, thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure, technical difficulties and all. I hope we can do it again.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me. And I hope you guys enjoyed today. Talk to you later.
Yep. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.